This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. And of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Mozart has written brilliant, bright, light symphonies with lots of spirit. And this is a symphony which is not light, but it's bitter, it's aggressive, it's a little bit harsh.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Yesterday, I arrived early for an interview with visiting conductor Hans Graf. He was still inside the Day One Philharmonic Patronus, rehearsing with some members of the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra, mostly the strings, which included only a couple of basses. I know the orchestra has more. Although there were a few woodwinds and brass instruments, it was a smaller orchestra. For a few minutes, I stood in front of a lobby monitor, watching the rehearsal but not hearing anything much. Then, luckily, I was ushered into the auditorium itself and sat there watching and listening for a while as the orchestra worked with the conductor. It was a start and stop, some instructions, and then it began again. That kind of affair. And just before the rehearsal ended, I was led into the cavernous backstage and continued to watch from monitors there. Watching and hearing the orchestra rehearse. One monitor showed the whole orchestra as viewed from the seats. The other showed the conductor sitting on a high stool with his back to the auditorium. In front of him, his music stand, but not one that looked like the stand used during performances. I was curious what kinds of instructions were given during the rehearsal. And when I sat down with the conductor, Hans Graf, I asked,
"Was that the Mozart you were rehearsing?"
Yes, that was the Mozart G minor symphony.
What do you tell musicians who are already quite confident, they know about the music? What do you tell them?
Usually, we talk about technicalities. This is the basis of everything. If technically we're doing right, then we can talk about emotion. And the emotion in the symphony is very special. It's a symphony unlike the other Mozart symphonies. Mozart has written brilliant, bright, light symphonies with lots of spirit. And this is a symphony which is not light, but it's bitter, it's aggressive, it's a little bit harsh. It uses four horns, and it is of a muscular... It's like it springs in your face. Why? We don't know. He was writing a symphony of rebellion. Probably because his job in Salzburg was to write all entertainment for the archbishop and for the bourgeoisie, nice symphonies they would like. It's like serving them sweet, always sweet, always sweet. Sweet, always sweet, always sweet. He wanted to serve them once, salty. And that's why he probably wrote this symphony. It's a piece of genius. And he uses this tonality, G minor, very deliberately. Everybody knows, who knows the Mozart symphonies, that there's the big G minor symphony. This is also a tragic symphony. And when Mozart chose a tonality, it meant for him a state of mind, a state of soul. So G minor is tragic, sad, a little bit revolutionary, and early, with 17 years, he knew that, as he knew it with 37, 35 years. And this is a very interesting thing, how a composer chooses a tonality, like a Van Gogh or other painter chooses a main color tonality, a blue or red, to give the whole thing an emotional, clear background. And then on this you build your symphony.
You've been telling me about this tonality. Is this what you share with the orchestra to get it to perform the piece the way you want to?
They know exactly the tonalities because they have to play them. And they know that a violin concerto is never in classical, it's never in E-flat. It's in D major, it's in A major, because the violin is built for those tonalities. And it has to be nice, good sounding and playable. A symphony encompasses much more. A symphony can be in E-flat. E-flat is known as a little bit much for people who do not really play music. But we have a Beethoven symphony in E-flat. It's called Eroica. That says it. E-flat is the heroic tonality. Strauss' Heldenleben, the big poem about the hero's life, in E-flat. So if Mozart chooses E-flat, it's orchestra music usually, and it's very noble and dignified and like golden. When he chooses D minor, it's bleak, and it's talking about death, about sadness, about lonely. If it's G minor, it's talking about, I want it different. And
he was a very young man when he wrote this piece.
Well, he was a very young boy when he wrote the first symphonies 10 years earlier. It was incredible. He was born as an old soul. I think he was born as a complete human being.
Mozart was only 17 years old when he composed this Symphony 25 in G minor. By the way, this piece was used in Milo Forman's film titled Amadeus.
You conduct many orchestras. Does each orchestra have its own sound?
Orchestras have their own voice, yes, because they have different personalities. If you have a concertmaster who is very different, his sound and his approach will change the orchestra a little bit. If you have a first oboe and he is always loud, which yours is not, he will change the playing of the section. So an orchestra is a real sum of the components, but also a sum of the history of the orchestra. So this orchestra comes from a German conductor. It has a very European tradition and approach to European music. It's nice. Other orchestras, the paradigmatic, like Cleveland has a very clear and clean sound, slightly on the cool side. It's not true, but that's what we say. And that comes from 40 years of George Sell, who was forming this, who was building this sound and asking for it, and he got it. And now this is the sound of the orchestra.
This is notwithstanding the fact that musicians come and go, people change. You can still develop a sound that is peculiar with the personality of an orchestra?
If the orchestra is strong in its identity, it will conserve its sound. If it's not strong in its identity, still very good players. But if they don't care whether we sound like Boston or like Cleveland or like Vienna, they will sound good. But an orchestra anyhow, with a different conductor and a different repertoire, will sound every week slightly different. And the conductor, who has immediately lots of influence on how the orchestra sounds.
So when you come here to conduct, what kind of sound do you try to create?
There is no word to define it. You have to go through the music with me, and you see in each bar what I'm doing to get the sound.
I'm speaking with visiting conductor Hans Graf, who will be at the podium this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, conducting in two different programs. He has shed some light on Mozart's Symphony No. 25 in G minor, pointing out how the tones created by this key produces a kind of music that affects us differently. Coming up, we'll look at Shostakovich's Symphony No. 11, which is also in G minor. This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good.
Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with visiting conductor Hans Graf, who is conducting on Friday and Saturday a program titled Mozart and Shostakovich. Both pieces share some common traits, although the one by Mozart was composed in 1773 and the other in 1957, about 180 years apart. How will the two pieces, both in G minor, sound?
There is no word to define it. You have to go through the music with me, and you see in each bar what I'm doing to get the sound. This is sometimes minimal, sometimes big. But I can't say I want this sound. I can say that in those two symphonies, which are both about the revolution, about the rebellion, there will be probably more rough sound, more strong sound, stark colors and salt and pepper, than in a Brahms 2. In Brahms 4 sounds different because it's a different character. Brahms 2 is most mellow and friendly. Shostakovich 9 is a piece which is friendly and smiling. Shostakovich 10 is a piece which is big, and Shostakovich 11 is a piece which is bitter. And that sound I want.
Earlier you said that there is a connection between the two pieces, Mozart's Symphony 25 and Shostakovich's Symphony 11, in that both share themes of a revolution and their responses to revolutions.
This is true. This is true. Both have a character of opposition, of defense, of my own, I fight against this in a distance of 180 years. So this is a different century, a different man, a different society, but the ground, the background is emotionally similar. And no coincidence that the tonality is similar. The Shostakovich Symphony is in G minor. And even for Shostakovich, those tonalities have still a residue of significance. He can write in any tonality, but if he writes in G minor, his music will sound a certain way, and G minor allows to express for him. It's simplifying. It's a very complicated theme, and I try to say it for people who don't know, what is G minor? Is this something to eat? No? Or is this a grade in school? No. G minor is a tonality based on G, and it sounds different than the neighbor tonalities. It really, you can single it out, as every tonality has qualities. So these symphonies are written in a rebellious tonality. They show lots of revolution, and Shostakovich Symphony shows also a lot of depressive submission, reaction to the killings. It's really sad. It's a funeral march which is so tender and so unaggressive. It's just, my soul is hanging. But then the last movement is again a strong fist, a strong
defiant
threat to what is coming in the future. Be aware that we will come back and we'll do it again.
When you use words like revolution, you talk about being assertive and aggressive and we'll stand up. It seems to me what you're saying is that music can be political.
Well, I think that 2,000 years ago, Platon said already that music is a power which political influence should use. I'm strictly against political music if it's written to glorify. Shostakovich had to write a cantata for Stalin in order to survive. No American composer was ever forced with life-threatening if he didn't write a symphony for a president. In Russia, you were forced to do that. Some works of Shostakovich are written to glorify the party. What he did feel at that moment, we better do not know. But the symphonies, his own music, he was always touching humanity, a humane theme of all people interest when he says revolution. Because when was the symphony written? In 57. What had happened in 56?
Hungary.
Hungary. Wasn't it very similar to 1905? And innocent people go to ask, give us freedom, give us at least some freedom. And without any warning, we're shooting in them. Without any warning, the Russians were coming in 56. And with tanks and shooting and killing so many hundred people. And Shostakovich was keenly aware how ferocious and bad the Russian approach was to that Hungarian spring. And the last thing was 1968 in Prague, when the Russians came again. They didn't kill so many because the Czech knew already, don't stand up too hard, they will kill you. And that has changed, and Shostakovich didn't choose to be born in such a time. He was born in this country, he was born in this people, he was Russian to the last fingertip, and he could not be different. But he could feel for those Russians who had to suffer from political oppression, from the Tsars, from the Soviet Union, from other. And he was very, very compassionate. And that's what the symphony shows.
Is there such a thing as the wrong use of music?
There's a wrong use of music. If the party or the Shostakovich wrote a piece which is called The Song of the Forests, it's 40 minutes long. It's huge orchestra, huge chorus, solo, big, stupid party text. And he said later, I had to write this because he was not allowed to publish from 48 until 53 any symphony. But he was allowed to write this piece for the party. And he said, it cost me the blood of my heart. It cost me more power and more energy and destroyed me more than three symphonies. I had to write this, and they have it, and now I'm free to write something else again. Thank God I can write what I want now. And he did.
When you're conducting and rehearsing with the orchestra, do you have to share with them all these things that you feel?
Not all. Not all. We are professionals. We don't have time for storytelling. We have time for working. But the musicians are very clever, and they all have their own background, and they know a lot about history. They know a lot about Shostakovich. They know a lot about their countries. Some come from countries where they experienced 1968, 1956 as children, probably. They know a lot about that. They don't need. And if they don't understand, they will go in one day or two, what that means. And sometimes one word, rightly placed, is more than a sermon. Now I did the sermon.
You'll be working with the youth orchestra also while you are here.
Yes, looking forward to that.
How different is it working with a youth orchestra?
I will find out when I see them. Sorry. A youth orchestra is a wonderful thing. There are young people with their innocent enthusiasm. They bring what they can bring, or they are afraid. Mostly they are, am I good enough? Yes, they are good enough. And you have to work with them like with a great orchestra. You have to ask for real, beautiful playing, and they will be doing, they will be able and willing and happy to do that. It takes probably sometimes a little bit longer. You have to be believing that it's possible, and they will do. And I'm looking forward to this. The piece I choose, without having heard the orchestra, was among pieces I had sent to the conductor, and he had then said, well, that's good for us, and that I will prepare. So I will really only conduct what they think that they can do. It has no whatever meaning to play Rite of Spring with them. They are not ready for that. In 2 years, they will be. But now we have to do one big classical work, which is the biggest overture of Mozart. It's close to 10 minutes, all others. And it's big orchestra with three trombones. And it shows very different musical situations. And again, I come back to my tonality. This is in golden, warm E-flat major. This is a symphony, an overture, which never should sound harsh. The G minor symphony sometimes sounds a little angry. Magic flute, no anger. It's just beauty.
Are you saying to me that as we respond in particular ways to colors, one way to yellow and another way to red, yet another to blue, so do we respond differently to different tones? Music in major keys, music in minor keys?
And you will even not know why. Because it's not necessarily going through our intellect. It's going through our emotions, which is another part of our brain, equally intelligent, equally important, and nonverbal. And tonalities, colors in music, are colors not for the eyes. There was the try to do synesthetic. Scriabin wrote a piece with music, colors, and real colors projected. And he thought that's what, but everybody associates a little bit different. But in fact, there's a similarity between reacting to colors in a picture and to colors in music, without even talking about it. And talking sometimes is difficult because it's even dangerous, because it might destroy the immediate effect of emotion.
So sometimes when we talk about music and we dissect it, we murder it.
It's very strong, but it might be hurt. if we then shut up a little bit and don't talk too much, then the music will come back and will grow.
I think that's a great way to end this discussion.
I think we have talked enough, but it's also good sometimes to open a little bit the doors for those who have still to make their first or the second step into music. It opens doors, it opens eyes and souls, and then you are on your own. Go in and just feel.
You conduct so many orchestras, you travel all over the world. How would you describe the state of classical music in the world?
People are decrying, are sometimes deploring that, oh, it's so difficult, and it is difficult. It's very difficult with major orchestras, with minor orchestras, to maintain a good repertoire. It's very difficult not to forget, because we go more and more to the central pieces, which everybody wants to hear, everybody knows, and as I want to hear what I know only what I want to hear. And this is circulus vitiosus, it's a devil's circle. So we have to fight against this. But at the other side, you have to be aware that never in human history more people enjoyed classical music and more people are touched by it and are really, really feeling deeply. And I'm very optimistic that classical music will have a bright future. Probably the way to bringing it to people will be different. But the real thing, the concert of a live orchestra, of a live pianist, of a live player, singer, will never be substituted by something else. The concept of going to a beautiful restaurant and eating real food will always be more interesting than have it from a preserve and microwave it. A real concert is something you have to experience to understand how great it is. So go to the real concert and you always have some small solution for at home to do a CD, to play up, you play yourself. But the real concert, you go, you feel this is the energy of music. This is the power of music.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Conductor Hans Graf. He's conducting two concerts this weekend. On Friday and Saturday at 8:30, it's the Mozart and Shostakovich program with the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra. Then on Sunday at 3 p.m., he'll be sharing the podium with Kieran McCauley, the resident conductor, and they'll be conducting the Malaysian Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. Tickets for Friday and Saturday are from 60 to 150, and tickets for Sunday's performance are at 60 and 100. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.